here in your presence, we are undone.
Hi, I'm Pastor Carolyn. Welcome to In His Presence, a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, where we bring worship and the Word together so that you may be encouraged and receive revelation of God's healing power emotionally, physically, and spiritually. May it bring transformation to your spirit, soul, and body. These teachings and worship sessions were conducted at various times and various locations. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired as you hear the truth of God's Word as it is brought to you by Pastor Bill. Now, please join us as the service is already in progress. I want to read a little bit from Psalms 149. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let them praise his name in the dance, let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. Let the saints be joyful in the Lord, and let them sing aloud. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth." And tonight, that is what we're going to do. We're going to sing the high praises of God.
You deserve the highest praise. Come into your presence with singing. Come into your presence with praise. Enter your gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting. Power is on its way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you. For you are our praise. You deserve the highest praise. We can't give it more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise. We can't give it more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. Presence with praise and enter his gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting. God is on his way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you mighty voice of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. Everything within me reaches out to you. Your power, your majesty, grace and mercy too. There'll be singing and dancing and hearts and voices raised. You have set your people free. Now the house is filled with praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for.
You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise.
Bless you.
is the name far above all others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there is a name that makes evil shudder. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a name far above all others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a name that makes evil shudder. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name.
Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
There is a name that will bring salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a name that will heal the nations. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name.
Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Lord, your
name, your name,
your name,
your name. Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Worship him forever. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Oh, blessed be.
Blessed be the name of the Lord forever, 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 forever.
Forever, 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 forever. And blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name,
your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name, your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
We'll sing.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Forever, 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 forever.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know when I was singing that?
Praise your name,
it's
God.
It's saying that your name, Jesus, will endure. And I was thinking about Wendy. Wendy has been a Christian, the one that we've been talking about, this being healed. Just when doctors said you're dying and God's healing her, she knows whose name to call upon. She knows the name of Jesus will endure, that it's not going to just disappear one day and she can't call upon the name of Jesus. And I know that she's been calling upon the name of Jesus, because when she broke that leg, when we went over to her house, she was in horrible pain because that kneecap was split half in two. But the name of Jesus endures. And calling on the name of Jesus, the doctors can't understand it when they look at those x-rays. Your name, Lord, is high above everything else. Psalms 150 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trump, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance. One day, I wouldn't doubt it, that Wendy just doesn't dance down the center of the aisles because of what the Lord has done for her. Praised him with string instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Our awesome God comes through the gates.
of praise. Somebody dance, somebody shout, somebody lift their voice out loud. Somebody rise, somebody sing, holy, holy is the King.
We come before His presence now,
lifting holy hands. Somebody shout, somebody sing, somebody dance.
And the glory of the Father
is falling in the mist.
We've been anxiously awaiting a moment just like this.
The heavens now are open, so come and take your place and raise your voice with a mighty praise. Somebody dance, somebody shout, somebody lift their voice up loud. Somebody rise, somebody sing, holy, holy is the King.
We come before His presence now,
lifting holy hands. Somebody shout, somebody sing, somebody dance.
The heavens now are open, so come and take your place and raise your voice with a mighty praise.
Somebody dance, somebody shout, somebody lift their voice up loud. Somebody rise, somebody sing, holy, holy is the King.
We come before His presence now,
lifting holy hands. Somebody shout, somebody sing, somebody dance. Somebody shout, somebody lift their voice up loud. Somebody rise, somebody sing, holy, holy is the King.
We come before His presence now,
lifting holy hands. Somebody shout, somebody sing, somebody dance.
Lord, we bless your name tonight. Praise you, God.
Our last song is a closing song. It's one of my favorites. It's an anthem, the Lord's Prayer. Oh, you know, we often pray the Lord's Prayer, but we don't often sing the Lord's Prayer. And tonight we're going to sing it. Oh, and it's so powerful. It's such a beautiful song. Worship as we sing this.
Forever and ever, amen. For Thou. glory forever. Glory forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, Lord. And we just bless you, Lord. We just bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. And we glorify you, Lord. And God, as we close out this part of the service, Lord, and we get into the Word, we just want to thank you, Lord, because everything, Lord, that you do is good. Everything you do is good, and every gift is from the Father of lights. And we just worship you, Lord, and we just praise you, Lord. Honored and praised be your name, Lord, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 Doesn't want to stop.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thine is the kingdom.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
So much for being with us in our worship service. Now, please stay with us as Pastor Bill brings us the message.
We're certainly glad to have everyone here tonight. And I hope that you've come with an expectation. Because God wants us to know Him. And I also hope that you brought your Bible. Because we are going to be opening up Word of God in different areas. So let's just go to the Lord with a word of prayer, and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you that we have such a beautiful place that we can come and we can open up your Word and we can pray and we can lay hands upon people. We can see things change. Because you desire to reveal to us the love that is truly in your heart for each of us. Lord, tonight may we understand what you have done for us so that we are able to receive fully everything that is ours because of what Jesus has done for us. So we thank you tonight. Anoint our ears, anoint our eyes, anoint our heart, so that we are truly able to see and to hear, to comprehend what the Spirit is saying to each of us. So we thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight what I want to do is I want to discuss how God uses His mercy and His grace to bring physical and emotional healing into a person's life. And the reason I want to discuss this is that I hear many people speak the words mercy and grace. We say it so often. We sing about it. We speak about it. We pray about it. We've learned the religious words of Zion. And yet, if I were to ask you what mercy and grace means to you, some of you may be hard-pressed to really tell me what that is. What does it really mean? And then why is it so important in my life or in the life of someone else? Somehow the concepts of mercy and grace are found both in the Old and New Testaments, yet if you were to do a word study in both Testaments, you would find that the English word mercy is used more often in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. And the word grace is used more in the New Testament. And there are specific reasons for this, but that's for another teaching and also another time. But if I were to ask you, or if I've asked a number of people at times, the difference between mercy and grace, many don't know, and some, especially if they've been to an old-time Sunday school class, they may give me a definition for grace, and that would be the unmerited favor of God towards man. And there would be others that would be able to quote a scripture verse from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." All of that is good, and it's correct. But what does it mean? What does it really mean in your life and in mine? I mean, how do I apply the concepts of mercy and grace in my life when I'm sick? What do I do when I've been given a bad report by a doctor, or that someone in my family comes back and suddenly now they're sick, they've gotten a bad report, and what do I do? How do I bring changes? What is the role then of mercy and grace in my healing or in their healing? Because the Bible shows me in the Gospels that everyone who came to Jesus was what? They were healed. There were no ifs, ands, or buts, and the only ones that weren't healed were those who either didn't come to the meetings or they were so filled with unbelief or they took up an offense against him that they couldn't receive from him. And you can see this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, in the beginning, when he went back to his hometown and you would read what happened there. I'm told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that let us come boldly before the throne of grace. That what? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that's a really important scripture. This is what the Bible says that I should do, that I'm to come to his throne of grace. And if I do this, then I can obtain something called mercy and find grace to help me. But again, all of this is great, but what does it mean? I mean, how do I apply this to my own life? How can I obtain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need or in someone else's? So what I want to do tonight is I want to begin to look at these two words, mercy and grace. So let's start first by looking at mercy. What is mercy? Well, if you're writing some notes down, let me give you a definition from Noah Webster's dictionary that he wrote back in 1828. And Noah Webster's dictionary defines mercy in this way. Mercy is the act of sparing or forbearance of a violent act expected. Well, what does that mean? I mean, that may be a great definition, but that just went right over the top of my head. Mercy is when we are spared from judgment or harm. Mercy is not God punishing us as our sins deserve. Now, if you were to look at some of the translators of the Old Testament Hebrew text, you would see that they used an English word for the Hebrew word, and that word that they would translate is either our English word mercy or the word loving kindness. And so what we see there in using those two words is that mercy is an expression of God's love, and it includes pity, it includes compassion, it includes gentleness and forbearance, and it's extended to those who are in need. Now, because we've sinned, and that's what the Word of God says, we deserve judgment. But if we have received Jesus Christ as Savior, then we have also received mercy from God, and we are delivered from judgment. But for God's mercy to work, there must be an element that's not often talked about. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, God says this, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why should you die, O house of Israel?" God doesn't want to punish the wicked. Rather, what God wants is, his desire is that man would turn. And guess what another word for turn is? It's the word repent. You can put the word repent in here, and God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked repent from his way and live. Repent, repent from your evil ways. For God's mercy to be realized and appropriated in our life, there must be repentance. We must repent. We must change the way we think. And when we think differently, we're going to act differently. God's mercy then is going to lead us to repentance and obedience so that we can turn and be merciful to others. And that's a very important point. You remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus was speaking there in the Beatitudes, and he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for what? They shall obtain mercy." In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 36, Jesus said this concerning our enemies, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful." God's mercy is vast. It is as high as the heavens are and the galaxies, but it's limited if we choose not to show mercy after we have received mercy. In fact, in James chapter 2 and verse 13, James says this, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." When we receive mercy from God, he expects us to turn and show that same mercy to others. Mercy is either going to lead us to repentance and obedience, or there will be punishment. Now, let me give you an example of mercy, maybe to help clarify it. How many of you have seen some of those old movies where there are two people and they've got a sword in each hand and they're dueling back and forth, and there's a sword fight, and suddenly one person kind of flips the sword and he takes the other sword out of the person's hand, and all of a sudden the blade is up against the person's neck. What happens? Suddenly you hear the person that has this thing across his neck, he cries out, "Mercy! Mercy!" And now the person who has the sword has a choice to make. Does he lift his sword and let the person live, or does he not heed the cries and the person is killed? When the sword is lifted and the person lives, that's mercy, because the victor in the fight really had the right to kill his opponent, yet he chose to let him live. As I said in the definition, mercy is when we are spared from judgment or harm. If you and I were to go into the New Testament, we would see a number of illustrations of where people cried out to Jesus for mercy. One of them was in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, where you have the Canaanite woman who comes to him. She came from a region, and she started shouting, and she said, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." We also have in Matthew chapter 17, verse 15, where the man came about his epileptic son. And he said, "Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he is epileptic and he suffers terribly, and he falls into the fire and often into the water." You have the example of the two blind men in Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, where the two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted out and they said, "Lord, have mercy upon us, Son of David." And even though the crowd didn't like that and they sternly rebuked them, these two blind men shouted out even more loudly and said, "Have mercy on us, Lord." You have the Gadarene demoniac that Jesus had set free, Mark chapter 15, verse 19. And after the man had been set free, he wanted to go with Jesus wherever Jesus went. And Jesus said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, what mercy he has shown you." And so we see there that him being set free was an example of that mercy. Remember blind Bartimaeus? The same with the two blind men. When he heard that Jesus was coming by, he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And even though those that were there tried to quiet him, he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." The same way with the 10 lepers. And there are a number of other stories that you find in the New Testament. In each of these cases, Jesus healed the person or delivered them from what they had been bound to. Jesus revealed the Father's love by having compassion and mercy upon all who called out to him and asked for it. But I want you to understand something. As you read these different accounts, we understand that they had different needs. Some of it was a demonic influence. Some of it was a physical healing. Some of them were blind from birth and they needed to receive their sight. But they had two things that were in common. And those two things were this. They were desperate. And they had an expectation. They were desperate and they had an expectation. They were serious about getting their problem solved. And they knew that Jesus was the only one who could do that for them. There wasn't anywhere else for them to go. There was no plan B. He was it. And if he didn't come through, nothing would ever change. I've been praying with people for over 37 years. And as I've walked in prayer lines with people, I've observed those who are desperate, those who come with an expectation, they receive the healing that they came for. I've also observed that for some, somehow they may think that they're a better Christian, that they don't need to have people praying for them, that somehow it's a lack of faith to walk up to the front and say, "Would you pray for me, please? Because I need help." And so they either hang back and they don't come forward, or they, after the service is over, they walk out the door and nothing has changed. So they don't come and they don't ask God for his mercy. Or they may come, but they don't expect anything to happen. Well, let's see if you've got the anointing. Let's see if you can do something more than Brother so-and-so did at the big camp meeting. And they walked away and they hadn't received anything. Because, and they won't. They expected God to act in a certain way and that the preacher or the person would lay hands upon them, anoint them with oil, and pray the prayer of faith, and suddenly, zippo, everything changes. And it didn't happen like that. And so they walked away. I've seen others who feel that they are entitled to receive mercy and that God is somehow obligated to provide that blessing. But their arrogance and their pride and their hard heart disqualify them from receiving anything, because James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And they certainly weren't humble. What I believe the Bible shows us concerning mercy is this. When we are truly desperate, with nowhere else to turn, we will come to a place where we will abandon all dignity, all pretense, all pride, our independent spirit, and we basically fling ourselves upon God, crying out for mercy. Mercy says, I deserve nothing, but I believe you. I believe that you are merciful and that you will remove the consequences of my actions, my thoughts, and my sins from me. That's mercy. I told you the story, for those that were here at the time, of the woman that Pastor Carol and I prayed with this last week. After 3 years of losing her sight and having a feeding tube in her stomach and dropping 100 and some pounds and not being able to eat solid foods and being in constant pain and not being able to sleep, she was desperate. She was really desperate. And she had heard Pastor Sam on the TV. She couldn't see him, but she could hear. And she called, and she said, will somebody come and pray with me? And we did. And when I walked out of there, I didn't know what had happened. We prayed the prayer of faith. We said those things. And it wasn't until the next day that her healing began to manifest itself. She was desperate, and she prayed through the night. Just because it didn't happen instantly, she didn't give up on God. She knew that he was her healer, and she knew that he would not let her down. And his mercy took away those consequences. That pain left, and it appears from everything that we've seen, she is on the rapid road of recovery, and she is thanking God, and she is telling people how great he is. Let's look at grace. Now, from a theological viewpoint, grace is this. It's the unmerited favor of God toward man. Some say that it's better described as the demerited favor, and with a little play on words, which means that it's a gift, it's a free gift, to those deserving judgment. So grace is a gift. It's a free gift. It's God providing benefits for us that we do not deserve. Let me say it another way. It is favor shown or a blessing given when judgment or punishment is really due. Grace is favor. It is kindness bestowed or given to sinners who deserve judgment or wrath. Let me get real theological. It is the free and benevolent influence of a holy God via the Holy Spirit operating sovereignly in the lives of undeserving sinners. Whew, that's a mouthful. But there are elements in that that are really important. It's free, it's benevolent, it comes from God, the Holy Spirit is involved, and it's in your life and in mine. And that's important. Because grace is not an abstract quality, because it is something which is active in our lives, and it reveals itself in charitable acts of kindness and blessing. Grace is not only something that God gives. We're supposed to be giving grace to others too. Just as we are to be merciful to others, so we are to be, as we receive that grace, we give that grace to others. But usually when we talk about grace, it's usually in reference to salvation. And the doctrine of grace and salvation goes something like this. We can't save ourselves. There's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation or even keep our salvation apart from the grace of God. We are saved totally as an act of God's will. He chose to be kind to us. He chooses to be gracious to us. He chooses to show us favor and to give us the blessings of eternal life. That blessing or favor is freely given to us and is not in consideration for anything that we have done or even will do. But please understand something. Even though that grace to us is free, it comes to us only because Jesus Christ died for us and paid the price so that we could receive the free gift of eternal life. It may not cost us anything, but it cost him everything. There is an acrostic that is used to help explain grace, G-R-A-C-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. And I'm sure many of you have heard that. It's God's grace at Christ's expense. But understand, too, that grace comes to us as we ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of our life. And as we experience the new birth, that is being born again, then God pours out that grace upon us. And the only thing that God requires of us is that we believe. We believe. We must exercise our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation. All right, well, what does that mean? Exercise our faith in Jesus Christ. It means that I realize that there isn't anything in me that will save me, but rather I must surrender. I must throw my hands up and say, Jesus, I can't do it. You must do it. And then, once I've said that and done that, then I trust him to do it. That's it. Now, since we've talked about mercy and grace, let me give you a quiz. Okay? There is a woman, and she's driving her car, or it could be a man. I'm not trying to say one or the other. But they're speeding, and they're not just going 5 miles over the speed limit. They're at 15 miles an hour over. And suddenly the officer pulls the person over and they're about ready to write a ticket to the person. And the person says, please, officer, let me off. Let me just don't write the ticket. I have learned my lesson. I promise that I won't do this again. I'll never do it again. Now, if the officer agrees and just gives her a warning citation, what would that be an example of? Mercy, correct. However, if the officer says, young man or young lady, I'm an officer of the law, I'm a man of law, and I must uphold the law, you were speeding, and you are going to get a ticket. What's that? It's justice. It's judgment. But in this same example, let's say that the officer says, I'm a man of the law, and I must write this ticket. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this ticket that I've just written, and I'm going to pay it myself. What's that? Grace. Okay? All right. Grace for healing is similar to grace for salvation. Just as Jesus provided for my salvation, in the same manner he has provided for my healing. He bore my sins, he took my sicknesses, and he carried my pains. And the Bible says that by his stripes I have been healed. And you can look at this truth in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 tells us that Jesus took upon himself the curse of the law. Now, what is the curse? What does that mean? If you were to go into the Old Testament, into Deuteronomy, you would find back in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68, that you'll find the different elements of what the curse of the law is. And when we talk about physical and emotional sickness and disease, you can go in specifically into certain verses there. You can go into verses 20 through 22. You can look at 27 through 28. You can look at 34 through 35. You can look at 59 through 61 and also 65 through 67. My point in giving you all those verses is this. Under the curse of the law, there is every kind of sickness and every kind of disease, and even those that we don't even know about yet, they're all under the curse of the law. Because God said in Deuteronomy 28:15, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully." Now that King James, to observe carefully, means to do. If you do not do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. A newer translation says, they'll not only come upon you and overtake you, but they'll overwhelm you. And so what we're talking about here is that the Bible is clear. Sin brings sickness and disease. Now, it may have been your sin. It may have been the sin of one of your ancestors. It may even have been Adam's sin. But it was someone's sin against the commandments and statutes of God that brought the consequences of sickness and disease. And I had mentioned in Galatians 3:13, Paul said it there. He says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone as hangs upon a tree." Jesus became a curse for each of us so that he could purchase us and redeem us from the consequences of the law. That means he took upon himself our punishment. He took upon himself our judgment. He took upon himself our harm. He took our cancer. He took our diabetes. He took our dementia. He took our trauma. He took our schizophrenia. In whatever way the sickness and disease begins to manifest itself in your body or in mine, or however it works itself out, it was all placed upon him. All of it. Jesus, of his own free will, chose to be beaten and scourged and then crucified on a cross so that we could receive mercy. And because he has borne it for me, I don't need to bear it myself. Did you hear me? Because he has borne that for us, we don't have to bear that. That's mercy. He took that for us. He took the punishment for me, and that is grace. Remember the officer who goes up and pays the price? That's grace. He paid the price. He took it. He wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Does that mean that I'm going to live forever? No. I'm still in this physical body, and there is physical death. And I will die unless Jesus comes first. You and I don't have our glorified bodies yet. We will someday, but not yet. Does that mean that I can live in any way that I want to or do whatever I want because Jesus has paid the price for me? No. No. God's mercy leads me to repent and to be obedient. His grace empowers me to walk in the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, everybody knows. There is there now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And most people stop there. But there's more to that verse. It says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us that do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That's a lot of words. But what does that mean? Pastor Carolyn, would you help pass out that little handout? Or some people there? What we have is a little handout. Because as I said to you in the beginning, a lot of people have some difficulties with mercy and grace. Mercy and grace, it's the same coin, but it's kind of like heads and tails. It's one side or the other, but it's still the same coin. And what I want to do is look at this for a second, because mercy does one thing and grace does something entirely different, and yet it's pretty much still the same. When you look at this, you basically have two sides. On the left side, it says mercy. On the right side, it says grace, because of. When we look at mercy, which says God withholds from us what we do deserve, He keeps us from consequences, judgments, and punishments. And that is to lead in our life to repentance and obedience. But on the other side of the coin is grace. Grace extends to us what we don't deserve. That gives to us benefits, favor, blessings, empowerment. So that grace will produce in your life and mine a spirit-filled life. Now, Pastor Carolyn came up with this diagram because she's visual. And she had to have something that she could look at that would help explain it. So I'm hoping that this will help explain it to you. And then on the back, you have scripture verses for both mercy and grace. If I'm going to walk in health, if I'm going to see sickness and disease healed in my body and in my mind, then I must appropriate God's mercy and God's grace, moment by moment, day by day. Now, as I do that, something happens. According to Romans chapter 8, there is a new law that begins to overpower the old law of this world. And that law is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This spiritual law works in a similar way to two natural laws. Now, you all know about the law of gravity, right? Everybody knows about the law of gravity. Well, there's another law called the law of lift. We see it every day with airplanes. An airplane will always be tied to this earth because of the law of gravity. And yet, when the engine starts and the plane starts moving forward and it gets going fast enough, suddenly there is another law that takes over called the law of lift, and suddenly there is a pressure on the bottom of the wing which lifts that plane many tons off the ground, and it can fly. It's released from the earth, as it were. But this plane, if for some reason, at some point, the plane stops going forward fast enough, guess what happens? Down it comes. The plane, it stops, and so suddenly now it will fall because the law of gravity again takes over. Now, in the same way, the law of sin and death is always at work in our life, just like the law of gravity. But when the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus begins to operate, it overpowers the law of sin and death, and a person is free from the natural downward pull and influence of this world. But hear me. Hear me. This is not something that you can do on your own. A plane cannot fly on its own. It must have something that is forcing it forward at such a speed that it will lift it off the ground. The only way that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is going to work in our lives is when the mercy and the grace of God thrust us forward. And then, as we yield to that, to the Spirit of God, the Bible says, old things pass away, all things become new. Because we are empowered by grace to live differently. Grace can empower me to live a spirit-filled life. And it begins tonight by realizing that we can't heal ourselves. We can't eat the right thing, we can't take the right medicine, and we can't have the right surgery. our healing and continued wholeness is totally dependent upon God's mercy and His grace. Now, these other items, the food, the medicine, the surgery, may help, but they must never replace what Jesus Christ has done for us and what He is providing for us. If we are focusing on these other things as our primary means of healing, then we're not really appropriating God's mercy and God's grace. We need to turn our eyes back upon Jesus. Remember that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? So whatever your need is here tonight, come tonight and allow us to pray with you, to cry out with you for God's mercy, appropriate His grace, for He is the one who said, let us therefore come boldly. The Amplified Bible says, fearlessly, confidently, boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. We ask God that it would be poured out upon each one tonight, that as they have heard this word, may it register within their spirit. May it cause them to come to You and to seek Your face and to cry out and to say, oh, Lord Jesus, heal me. I am desperate for Your touch. I need You and no one else, for You are my healer. You have paid the price, and allow me to receive that mercy and that grace, that by Your stripes I have been healed. And by Your stripes I can now live free, because You took upon Yourself that curse and You paid the penalty for that curse, that I might be free. Now, Lord, show me how to live in the Spirit, to be free from the things that would pull me down, so I can soar like an eagle with You all the days of my life. May I truly dwell in Your house forever. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Here in Your presence, we are undone.
Hi, thank you for listening to our program, In His Presence. Our prayer is that God has spoken to you as you were in His presence. We hope that you will listen again. If you have heard something that has been a blessing to you, please tell others. If you would like to have Pastors Bill and Carolyn speak at your organization, please contact us through our website. If you would like to help support Rapha Healing Ministries, please go to our donations page on RaphaHMI.org. All donations are tax deductible. In His Presence is a production of Rapha Healing Ministries based in Midlothian, Virginia, and Jensen Beach, Florida.